Let's talk about decisions tonight. Some decisions are easy. Carroll College, Montana Tech. Easy. Easy decision. Okay? If you don't know that reference, you will. Trust me. By the way, don't get me in trouble. I know God loves Montana Tech. He just loves Carroll more. That's fine. That's how it is. Other decisions, slightly more difficult. Do I take the bed by the window before my roommate arrives? Slightly difficult. Maybe a little more. Do I bring all 18 pairs of shoes to college? Some of you are like, that wasn't a difficult decision at all. The answer is yes, right? Absolutely. I just have to figure out where to put them. But big decisions in life can be hard. By the way, decision etymologically means to cut away from. Another word you all know, an incision means to cut into. A decision means to cut away from. That's why they're hard. Big decisions require a lot of us, a lot of thought, a lot of deliberation, a lot of calculation, reflection, even conversation with other people, but also a certain amount of trust. And if there's trust involved, there's always a certain amount of risk. Big decisions, not so easy. What college should I go to? What should I major in? By the way, college, it's amazing because of all the possibilities that are open to you. So many great new adventures to be had. And it's great to have so many options, but only to a point. Because at a certain point, we have to decide. We have to choose. And your parents are like, yes, please choose. Because if 3 years from now, you're like, I don't know what I should study. I'm going to keep my options open. Don't push me, mom and dad. Your parents are going to be like, pay for college yourself. We have to decide. We have to cut away from. We have to close off certain options and choose and commit ourselves to certain paths. And that's true for all important decisions, but especially for the most important decisions in life about who we're going to be, what we're going to stand for, who we're going to follow, and most importantly, who we're going to serve. And it's good to be serious about those serious decisions now and not later. Certain things need to be decided now and not put off for later. We need to make decisions for a couple reasons. One, because they cut us away from things that would keep us from moving forward in life. That whole notion to keep all your options open, it's only true for a short period. Because to keep all your options open at all times means you'll never go nowhere. And that's a double negative. That's bad English. You won't go anywhere. You won't do anything. Because any movement in one direction is a no to movement in different directions. More importantly, though, decisions force us to clarify what really matters to us, to exercise our will, to help us know what we really believe, and more importantly, what we really love. And so for that reason, God is intensely interested in our decisions, because he's intensely interested in our hearts. And there is no greater decision than this, the decision about what you will live your life for. That is to say, what you will make the center of your life. And that, in so many ways, is the question of the human heart. Now, all through the scriptures, and in tonight's first reading and in the gospel, we see that God invites and sometimes even provokes a decision for him. God is not interested in us keeping all our options open, but rather he wants us to choose, and to choose him, not just his teaching, not just some nice belief about him, but to choose him. It's personal, to make a personal decision for a personal God. Tonight's first reading, we get Joshua. What a man. Thank God for Joshua. What a great man. He calls all the people together. And he says, decide today who you're going to serve. Will you serve God or some other false god? But decide today who you're going to serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And there's such a strength to that. There's such a decisiveness to say, we're going in this direction. Me and my household, we move this way. And he challenges the people that he loves, the people that he has served, to be strong in their choice as well. Now, we get a shortened version because there's a back and forth between Joshua and the people. When he invites them to decisiveness, they say yes, and then he follows up and he says, you might not be able to follow the Lord. Are you serious? Are you in? Are you committed? Is your decision strong? And that's a good question for us to ponder. Because we could all say, oh, I'm in. I'm at church. I'm following the Lord. Are we in? Are we all in? And sometimes it's hard for us to decide for God. Because to choose him means to say no to certain other paths. Other paths that are often held up in the culture as important or valued or even necessary. But God invites us to choose him above all things. So sometimes it can be hard. I was pondering that. Why do you think sometimes it's hard for us to decide to follow God, to be all in? Some people will say that's because how could we know? I mean, it's just so mysterious and abstract, and I don't know. It's not science-based. How do you make a decision like that? And I think that's fine, but I don't think that's the real reason it's hard for us. I think the real reason it's hard for us to be all in is because we know deep inside the significance of saying yes to God, of deciding for him, that it will change our lives completely, that it will touch every aspect of our life, our studies, our friendships, our talents, our hobbies, what we do with our free time, how we choose to live this short time on earth, that if we're all in, if we decide decisively for God, that it's so consequential and we're afraid of committing. I'm going to read you something that Pope Benedict XVI said in 2005, and I think he's dead right. So lock in on this. He said, are we not perhaps all afraid in some way? If we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take something away from us? Do we not then risk ending up diminished and deprived of our freedom? Are we not afraid that we might give up something significant, something unique, something that makes life so beautiful? And then Pope Benedict, who was not a man who was afraid to make decisions, said this, no. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. No. Only in this friendship are the doors of life opened wide. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. And so today, with great strength and great conviction, on the basis of long personal experience of life, I say to you, dear young people, do not be afraid of Christ. He takes nothing away. He gives you everything. Recall for a second that hard decisions almost always involve trust and risk. They take us beyond ourselves and our own security, even our own understanding of things. Deciding to follow Christ is like that. He will take us beyond ourselves and our own security, our own comfort, our own understanding of things. All you have to do is come to one Mass and truly believe in what happens on this altar, the Eucharist. That goes beyond all our comprehension. Jesus invites us to trust and to risk that he really means what he says when earlier in John 6, though we don't hear it tonight, he says to all people, "My flesh is true food, my blood is true drink." My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. That he really and truly gives himself to us on that altar. What a thing. Do we believe that? Are we all in on that? Jesus doesn't back down about the truth of that truth. In fact, he provokes a decision. You see, when he holds that position, he watches his enemies leave because it seems so ridiculous. And then he begins to watch his friends leave, his disciples, who can't handle it. The saying's hard, who can accept it? And they start to murmur. And they leave. And Jesus lets them go because God is intensely interested in our decisions. He won't stop them. And then he even turns to the 12, upon whom everything rests, the whole mission of the church. And he says, "Do you want to go too?" And he leaves them free to decide. And then St. Peter steps up. And he says words that changed the course of human history. Because if he said, "I don't believe, I'm walking away too," everything changes. But he doesn't say that. He says, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. I believe in you. I trust you. I'm willing to risk everything for you and for what you just said." And that's the beautiful gift of faith that we're all invited to. It's a gift, but one we must decide to make our own, one we must choose to say yes to. You know the thing about the Eucharist? It's so beautiful. God has decided to be with us. He chose and he chooses to come near us in a real and personal way. He decides to be with us because he loves us. It's a beautiful and also stubborn truth. We can choose to take it for granted. "Oh, I'll just go to Mass whenever I want. No big deal if I miss." We can be stubborn about it. We can ignore it. We can treat it like it's just a symbol or a nice religious gesture or tradition. Or we can trust. And maybe even this. We can decide to trust the one who has decided to give himself to us in this most unexpected, surprising, and awesome manner. Christ asks us to decide for him. Maybe tonight with Peter we can say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." Maybe tonight with Joshua we can say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."